Okay, let's call to order the Institutional Effectiveness Council meeting for Thursday, February 7th at 1:04. College update, anybody have anything they need to share with us or feel should be shared with us? Awesome, a note on the cleaning, the power, the maintenance folks and plowing and all that. Incredible yesterday coming in, just.
It's very nice.
They were just round the clock, they staggered their shifts just to make sure that the campus was clean. There was so much hand shoveling that they ended up doing near the doors because of the way the wind was blowing, so yeah, they were just awesome.
That was impressive, kudos to those folks. And I trust you got enough pizza for them yesterday?
Yes, and we're doing, so that was for the daytime crew, and I think it's either tonight or tomorrow night, we're doing it for the nighttime crew.
Oh, excellent. So to be clear on one thing, the yard or grounds work with the snow, that was around the clock?
Pretty much.
Sundays, Monday, Tuesday?
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Okay, because there was conversation by some why we were closed on Tuesday when we really didn't have any snow, and I said, my assumption is they needed to get the place cleaned up.
The way the storm was on Monday, they could barely keep up on the main roads for emergency vehicles to get in should something happen. And so, and it's very difficult to do the parking lots around vehicles and students.
Yeah,
but if you go around most of the facilities around South Lake Tahoe,
yeah.
The school district was closed for the same reason, to get everything cleaned up and ready so that it was safe for the people to be on campus, students and staff. There was the same thing, some of the city and county, they had late start, they weren't even opening until noon so they could do the same thing. There's just so much cleanup taking place.
Yeah, you couldn't get out of your neighborhood if you had
a virus on. I defended that.
But that's part of the sharing. It's not about, campus could be clear if people can't get out of the Myers neighborhoods, you just need to do your driveway. If you need your driveway's clear, that's where you end it because it's plowed and then.
And also on Sunday and Monday, the Monday night forecast was to drop another foot to a foot and a half.
Right.
So that's what maintenance was anticipating having to deal with on Tuesday morning.
Absolutely.
It didn't end up dropping that much more, but you know, that was what the forecast was.
But again, on a positive, it was beautiful. And the cut walls. Somebody's got a new toy out there. Okay, any other comments or concerns for a college update? All right, now moving down to reports and first readings. Donna contacted me. You needed her to do something for the board on uploading files. So she's getting that.
Okay.
She'll be here in just a few minutes. So, and you don't want to start your 202.
Oh, you did 202. It's fine. That wasn't what I intended, but that's fine.
Well, and I didn't mean to, I'm not tossing her under the bus. She
just
felt compelled to address your concerns.
Yeah, our board packet deadline was 48 hours ago. So, yes, we are past the board packet deadline. So, also.
You okay to do yours?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Let's do it. I think I'm trying to do
folks, folks, we're going to skip over to 202. Okay, Jeff on that. And then when Donna gets here, we'll go back to 201. Go ahead.
Do you want to take a stab at it, Jonathan, since you're prepared?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? How about you, Jeff? Do you mind?
I'm fine.
I'll save my voice.
Okay, so
I'll fill the gaps.
Basically, in terms of this recommendation, we looked at the idea of bringing on a full-time tenured counselor that had been in the works when I first got here. We already knew that the director of the DRC was about to retire. We didn't have anything in writing. But that eventually came in January. So we looked at the whole thing and said, because Sarah has been in that position as a non-tenured counselor, this was just all the back room talk about, okay? She's in that position, she's been there for a number of years, she's done a great job. Wouldn't it make sense to turn that into a tenured position so that we would have more stability in that particular department? So those are some of the things that we're talking about. Just the idea of the counselor position being tenured and then also replacing the director of the DRC. Now, in terms of the why, the overall why, the bigger picture is something having to do with the paradigm shift that's happening here in California with all community colleges. We know that we have a new chancellor at the chancellor's office. We know that he's a big picture thinker guy, and he's put this thing out called, it's a vision document, It's based on a five-year plan. And within that five-year plan, he's asking us to do really a lot of incredible things in terms of trying to increase the number of success rates among our students. So I'm not gonna spend too much time on that, but I do want you to be aware of some of the things that he wants to achieve. He wants to increase the number of certificates and degrees by up to 20% all across the board. He wants to increase the number of transfer rates all across the board. He wants to decrease the number of units that our students accumulate by the time they graduate. He wants it down to 118 credits. He wants to bring about overall achievement amongst our students of color so that that equity gap is decreased. So there are a lot of things that he wants us to do, and the only way we're going to be able to do that is that we're going to have to change our strategy on campus. So that is why we started looking at counseling as a fundamental change in terms of how we shift those resources. So let's go to the slide that shows, I think it's the first slide.
The first one there, proposed.
So in the first slide, you'll see on the far left, that is the current staffing situation. So we see we have Aaron Burnett, we have Tracy, we have Pete, we have Esther, we have Christy, we have Sarah. So basically we have six counselors that are providing a lot of the services to our students. And then below you'll see there are two part-time counselors, and then we have the director of the DRC, and then we have one person who is doing the LD specials, okay? So what you need to understand about this is that over the years, from like 2011-12 up to now, the actual FTEF has dropped. There is a slide in there that talks about how that has dropped over the years because of the reduced workload. So we primarily went from like about, it was 4.3 for general counseling, 4.3 FTEF down to 3.6. That is not good. Based on what we're trying to do right now. So we said, why not go in here and try to bring on somebody full time just in case things happen. The two people that are on reduced workload, if they retire, we're gonna even be down less. So the new recommendation, if you see on the right side, would be what? We're gonna keep all those counselors, but the difference is where you see, where is that, where it says vacant? I think it says, right above that it says NA, the non-tenure track counselor will be hired, and instead of having a full-time non-tenure, we would have a full-time. We know that person will not go anywhere. That person will be with us for 10 to 15 years. So that's the one change. The other one is we'll be bringing on a director of the DRC full-time. So that full-time person will be able to carry out his duties as a director and also do some part-time work in the LD role. The other thing too is that we would take Christy, who is doing a lot of the work up in the DRC, we would bring her down to work full-time in the counseling office. We would actually have her coordinate the Promise program. So a big responsibility now for all campuses is to make sure the Promise programs are working fluidly and effectively. Let's see what else. Next, let's take a look at,
So it was an up by 0.75 in FTEF?
Yes.
And but the reason by overall, the 7 on the left-hand side is lower because of the individuals who are doing reduced load. So
right.
Originally the FTF was even higher than the 7.
Yes.
When they were all
full-time. It's really pretty actually budetary wash. Maybe there's a little increase because 0.25 at Beth is just in the psychology department. Oh, yeah. Moving over to student services. So that's one budget to another budget. It's just a difference. Yeah. And you know, a 0.5 reduced workload person is much more expensive than a 0.5 typical counselor because you're paying their full health and welfare, you're paying their full STIRS. So I usually use the ballpark that they're really cost, even at a 0.5, they cost more like 0.75%. So just so you know, kind of budgetarily, maybe there's a quarter FTE increase. But to the impact of student services, that's 0.75 more support for non-instructional faculty in that division.
So we think that would be the best arrangement. Aaron would now take over the duties of running the transfer center and also international. And then we would have Christy doing the veterans. She'd take on the veterans and do the promise full time. And then pretty much everything is about the same. But I think the way that we have calibrated this particular situation is going to be more beneficial to our students. Any questions about this recommendation?
I would offer to the council the notes at the bottom associated with the 1 through 6 in the table are very informative. Help detail out some of those changes.
Okay. John?
Yes.
I just would add that, sorry,
did she say?
She said never mind.
Never mind.
Thank you.
Please make a note of that in a minute.
The other main thing that we're trying to do also is that, Esther has been doing the career counseling. But because she's on reduced load, there are periods in the year where she's not there. So the idea was to have Beth come down and 25% of her her counseling load would be for the career counseling. And we want to eventually be able to boost up that particular role so that more students can be served year-round with the counseling center. So that's just more or less a start of where we're going to increase her role in providing counseling services.
Refresh my memory, sorry, I was fighting a cold for 4 weeks. So Sarah, in reality, is going from a non-tenure to a tenure, so it's not really a new position, is she just taking this position?
Well, we can't do it like that. Okay. Think about it is that if we're gonna put this out, it's gonna be posted, we're gonna have people that are applying for it from all over the place, all across the country, we're gonna get those applications, we're gonna sort them out, and then we're gonna ask the interview. So we can't really promise Sarah that she'll hired for that. We hope that she gets the job based on her, the services to the school, and she's an excellent counselor. But in the end, we can't promise that job to her. So if Sarah gets it, great, but Sarah doesn't get it, we're promising to have her stay on with us for an additional year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or questions on this?
Well, just, and so if I understand correctly, so Beth's position currently is 0.5 instructional. And she's going to be dropping to 0.25 instructions.
She was hired as a 1.0 learning disability specialist, though.
Right.
And at some point was transitioned to 0.5 into psychology, and some 0.25 were coming back in on instructional.
Anyone else? What else do you got to
say? I think that's it.
I would just say this was heavily vetted. We had a whole half the retreat with the counseling staff to kind of come up with some of these ideas. And I think what's important was really getting clear of not just looking at the new position, but really who's on first for all the duties. I think that's a distinction.
And I don't know if we've already had this conversation here. Jeff, speak to the where this was placed within the FHP process.
So the FHP process had a request for a 1.0 DRC director. And there was a tier 2 level request. So this somewhat responds to it. It does clarify that it'll be a DRC director / student disability specialist.
And it was in response to the changes based on the fact that it was a second tier. Because we had already heard from Jeff on our first tier. And now he's coming back once it did all of that work. And restructuring, because I don't want anybody thinking, why is it coming so much later than the first one? And it's not because it's second tier, it's because
we just separated two. We did instructional faculty together, instructional faculty together, because they're kind of different animals. And the non-instructional faculty one was pretty, you could see there was quite a web there of, it wasn't just figuring out the new hire, it was like, so now Beth's moving here, and Chris is moving here, and Aaron's moving here, and Chase is moving here. It was a major domino effect through the entire department. So took a little more time to sort out, I would say.
Good. Anyone else? comments or concerns? Would someone be kind enough to reach out to Donna to see where she is?
I did before I knew that she wasn't coming early, and Kelsey said she would be here shortly, but that was 20 minutes
ago. The accountant in me is looking at the salaries that are the meters running and we're.
I can start to boil, and I know enough about it that I can take.
You want to? Then please go ahead, Jeff.
All right. Let me just get my head in here real quick. So basically, I think this was Donna's intent to have kind of an. Initial conversation with the Institutional Effectiveness Council as a council that's really responsible for governance and effectiveness and planning on campus about how to launch our strategic planning process. First and foremost is we're due for a new multi-year strategic plan. There's no magic number. It could be 7 years, 5 years. Different colleges do different things for different reasons. To me, 5 is kind of like the out. I mean, it's hard to really see past 5 years, a lot will change in that time frame. So we're set with that. That's an accreditation requirement for us. It's also a board approved goal. In the board goal, we stated that we would kind of do the process for gathering input in spring, and then kind of the governance approval in fall. So kind of bridge across 2 academic years. Realizing it was a pretty big project and couldn't be fully done within this year. So that is that. The intent with this, or it was our hope to not have to start from scratch. We have a recently approved educational master plan that's went through governance. We have annual goals that are approved by the board. We recently completed an institutional self-evaluation report through our accreditation process that really outlines some of the key things we need to do over the next few years. So to maybe save ourselves some time in talking in circles, may not start completely with a blank slate because we already have a lot of planning documents. And typically that is a best practice to have. You want to have cohesiveness and alignment between your various planning documents. So that was our plan going into this year. Every now and again the state throws you a curveball. This is another such one. So the state did their vision for success, which is linked in that attachment 2. And then as part of that, they came back and told districts that they need to do what they call a set of goals related to this. And what's interesting is that I don't know if they're really using goals, the term goals correctly, because what they're really asking for you is to have performance metrics. It's really a performance metric, so I think maybe they just don't want to use that term. And let's see, I'll look at attachment 4. Attachment 4 is kind of this infographic. And so basically, what we need to do between January and May, if you kind of scroll down to the bottom of that, is we need to review existing college strategic and or educational master plans. And then February through April, gather input. And then May, include finalized and aligned measurable goals. So again, performance metrics. This is what they are. And they have some, and submitted to the Chancellor's Office by May 31st. So that's going to be upon us. They're basically saying you won't get your funding next year unless you do these. So it's definitely a little, they have kind of a carrot and a hammer there. If you go back down to, if you go to attachment 3, I'm going to go to, kind of scroll into the set local goals. It's the second to last page. One more. So basically these are the metrics that they want. So completion indicators, how many students or what percentage of students are going to leave. Transfer indicators, how many students, what percentage of students are going to transfer. Unit accumulation, as Jonathan was mentioning earlier. How do we ensure that we don't go over a certain, basically what we're trying to move away from is students leaving with 15, 20, 30 more units than they actually need to transfer or graduate. which has been a commonplace problem, so they want you to set a goal about a lower average number of units that your students have when they complete. Workforce indicators about job placement within one year, equity indicators looking at disaggregating your data by different student subgroup populations. So really what they want us to do is look at a set of data and say, where are our performance metrics right now? You know, they use goals, but it's not really a goal. Where are your performance metrics right now, or where they've been? Let's look at the last 3-year average, and what do we believe are attainable yet stretch improvements moving forward? And they want this. You know, they're targeting 2021 as the year, which is really going to be upon us, because you know next year is going to be 1920 final year. Actually, they're probably 2021-22, so it's going to be. They're basically saying that you're going to have 3 years to achieve these metrics and specifically tie them to the vision for success. So I think on the positive, luckily we didn't just finish the strategic planning process and then have this come out. So we will be able to, I think the hope is to align these efforts a little bit. But it is one more thing. One more thing that we're required to do. If we, I think one benefit for us is in the 11th hour of our Ed Master Plan, we were getting some rumblings of this happening, and we did do some alignment with our Ed Master Plan to the Vision for Success goals. So that's one step that we're ahead of many of our peer institutions. But yeah, I don't know if there's a dialogue Don was hoping to have, or they just get this information out. So I kind of covered the scope of my understanding. But I think mostly this is something that we need to be aware of and start having a conversation about, because it's going to impact our time over the coming months. And probably I would say that the probably next logical step for this group is for us to get a report on where we stand in some of these key indicators that the state's identified.
To this,
and maybe where do we stand more in comparison to our counterparts as well.
This is what both Jonathan and his presentation and what Jeff's alluding to. These are the specific detailed criteria, I believe, that with the actual measurable data that they're looking for, the markers. The increase of at least 20%.
How's ISP in here? With some of these metrics obviously are very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's a good question. I mean, I think one area, like, it'll depend, right? Like, so, you know, the transferring, that's not necessarily going to be, you know, something that group's going to be able to attain.
Right.
Like
transfer and workforce, those are the...
Yeah. We'll just have to acknowledge that. I think probably in our documents now, because it said decrease the average number of units. ISP students have such a regimented pathway that they do really well. They're like leading the way on least number of units, or at least superfluous units in path to a degree. But yeah, that's a good question. And I think that's interesting for us is, I mean, what you're seeing a little bit more of, this is very focused on traditional students, transfer, degree seeking. And we serve a pretty divergent student body from our adult learners, I mean like lifelong learners, kind of our older adult prep courses, our ISP, our finer sciences. And so a lot of our students are gonna fit into some of these boxes. So that's something we're gonna have a conversation about and figure out how we're gonna acknowledge that in our next setting.
Kathy.
I just had a question about the percentages. So if you're really good already, you've already done all the easy work to try and get everybody to go 20% more, you know, ones who haven't done it will easily get to the 20%. How are you going to get that last bit?
Yeah, I mean,
is
it's...
Is there a top number?
No, I don't. I mean, I think some increased 35% the number of CCC students transferring annually to UCRCSU. I'm like, where did they come up with that from? Like, do they even know that 35% of the students even want to do that, right?
Yeah.
So, and it's interesting to have emphasis on the UCRCSU,
yeah.
Right? For us, with the University Center and University of Nevada Reno being our closest public institution, like, we're not going to get any UCRCSU increases. So, here's the thing. I mean, I don't want to dismiss this, right? Because I don't think we should dismiss it. But it's like, we're going to find a balance here, right? Like, these are very lofty goals. We're going to have to get in alignment with moving toward these. And we're going to have to set some goals that are in line with them. But to some degree, like that second bullet point's a perfect example of where that might not be the most logical. Like, we might want to have our goal be a little bit different, expanded to be beyond UC, and we'll have something in our narrative explain that, yes, this is, we're going to increase our transfer, but because of our geographical location, we're mindful that our students are going to be also transferring to X, Y, and Z student schools, and that's why it's not as a higher percentage for a UC or CSU.
I just had a, if I'm not mistaken, these goals are statewide goals, and one of the conversations that I think was in last year's, it was a meeting I went to last year where they talked about, they recognized that some schools are going to carry the weight in certain areas and other schools can pick it up in other areas, that it's really hard for one school to do every single area. And so where we are already doing really good, maybe we push on another one, you know, to kind of help the whole state live in that area. So that was just one of the things of, there's a question we were asking. Budget, the office budget meeting that we went to, they were, we were talking about this, and so it was a push.
So, Jeff, are we handing this back off to Donna then?
Sure, I think I would say that we've kind of covered all the handouts and kind of the key components. It's now more what input you want from this group.
All right. I was
basically, we were at time, so we kind of jumped into it.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. What I was going to say, I have to get my rhythm going because I was going to start with the visions for success, but you've covered that on what our goals are. This ties in nicely. I hear Jonathan, you've already mentioned some of the goals, but also with tomorrow's presentation with Dr. Poindexter, we're talking about guided pathways and then our student success measures, looking at different ethnicity race distributions, which ties into the vision for success, because we'll have our overall metrics that I have. If we're going to go into that, I don't know, Jeff, if you're talking about something different, but if we need to separate out and take a look at how we're doing at reaching all the different ethnicity race populations as we're going forward, because as is mentioned in the vision for success, it's an important job, but the goal is to make sure that all of our groups are succeeding at the same level, that there's no difference. We have a 10-year goal to make that happen. So only if we take a look at it, at the metrics and how we're doing, can we hope to make an impact on those measures. My goal for today is kind of kicking off the multi-year strategic plan. It's been mentioned in this handout, I'm sure many of you have seen in multiple locations, our 18-19 goals. It's our goal number 4 is to develop a multi-year strategic plan. Our last one ended in 17. And we are focusing on goal 4, facilitate a new multi-year. So that's what we're doing for today. And with your help, especially because I think just about almost everyone here has been involved in the previous strategic plan. So looking at some of the new ideas that are introduced for our next strategic plan.
I'm just checking to make sure they all have, and I suppose that's part of what Betsy did.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I joined in our last.
But you didn't get the Vanna White treatment.
I did not. It's even more beautiful now.
Yeah, and I don't think I did participate in the last one, but I participated in the previous ones.
You know, you could come in some morning and I'll just have like plastered copies all over your office.
I think you only have about half of us here.
Oh, really? Okay.
We're in the last one.
Okay.
Jonathan wasn't, Rusty wasn't, Kirk wasn't.
And given that, I just asked Laura to share with me what we have in our governance manual handbook, and under the Institutional Effectiveness Council, there are functions that are our charge. And the first one, it goes with advise the superintendent president on policies and procedures, blah, 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 blah. Related to the college's overall planning activities with prioritization of short and long-term goals and priorities. That's our job. We started. We put this together with her guidance and Jeff's and everyone else. This is where our charge as a council. is at that level. And the rest of the functions, you can read it in the handbook, is in the link.
It's in the governance.
Yeah, yeah. You can read some of the other functions. They're all big picture, all big picture stuff. And that's what our Director of Institutional Effectiveness leads us in. It's all yours.
You always put those, that kind of comment in.
Yeah, well, just because you're good at this.
Well, having a split seems like it's really ideal, because you have both people who are experienced in it, and you have new people who bring fresh perspective and vision to it. This strategic plan is a little bit different than the previous ones, in the sense that we are now formally connecting it to a Visions for Success at the Chancellor's Office. So what's great about that is they give you, we have to adapt it to what's appropriate for our area, but many of those, it's not that this is in conflict with what the Chancellor's Office wants. We just have to put our own seal on what we're looking for. But they have set in the Visions for Success that was discussed what the goals are. So we need to align our goals with the Visions for Success goals. We need to make sure they're numerically measurable. And the system, the Chancellor's Office has, and it depends if we go into it today, there's a whole bunch of metrics. It's a very important step. The Chancellor's Office has developed all the metrics that we are to use for our plan. Part of the challenge with it, honestly, is that it's from the Chancellor's Office, so it's pulling up our MIS data. So we have to check what the Chancellor's Office is presenting. We can't just take the charts as they are right now without confirming them with our colleague data. But the Chancellor's Office has already set a launch board with student success measures that they're creating to help colleges. But we know what they're looking at. Doesn't mean we're limited to it, but it does mean that it's a great part to kind of get us started. Like, they have a number of different indicators that we are to follow: graduation, transfer. Those are the two that are always like that start with me, but there's a couple others, and they say what they're looking for, and then we can take our own LTCC angle on it and look a little bit deeper in different ways. So all that, I printed out some of the charts they're using, but I find that it's easier if you actually see it online, and then you can also play with it, because one, you can sort it out by no variables and just say overall, what's our grad rate, are they getting transfer degrees, certificates. But you can also select different variables, almost like a tableau tweaking, and you can do ethnicity. And then of those populations with more than 10 students in the cohort, you can go ahead and pull up how are we doing with our Hispanic Latino population. And you can pull that up to see what are the graduation rates, what are their course completion rates. There's even things like, it's not necessarily one of the indicators for the Chancellor's Office, but they have in there, is how many people applied and how many followed through and registered, and then look by ethnicity, which is important for our Visions for Success / college goals, because we need to see how we're doing with all of our diverse populations. So we have that data that's courtesy of the Chancellor's Office. They will be providing one of the fifth goals is about workplace labor statistics. They are not done with that, but they will be, it's been waiting for a while now, but they said they're going to be providing that. We can, in a little bit later, we can discuss if you'd like to take a look at it and put up the website and they show you where those charts are. For today, one, kind of introduce the idea, because now with your input and your assistance, I'd like to get a game plan for how to start developing this multi-year plan throughout the whole college. Now, of course, we'll include students, and we'll need to do outreach to community members and keep the board involved. But it's really, I am looking to this council, both the newbies and the people who have done it before, on how do we go about to most effectively get this going forward. And in some handouts, I think I have, there's one that's a great little guide, like process for looking, setting local guides. Local and a little bit, all this attention is kind of a bit too much right now. But in our process for the local district goal setting, which is us.
You go. I'm guiding her. Sorry.
She's a pro. So on this document, I think the next page just shows you kind of like a outline on what to do. The Board of Trustees, there hasn't been, at least with me, multiple conversations involved with them. Of course, we'll have to be trying to fight a little bit time on in the board as Jeff deems appropriate. But they are aware that of our goal for developing a multi-year strategic plan is what we'll be doing. But as we go forward, they'll need to be more involved in the process and what we're doing. The review of baseline data and report goals development process, that is the data I wanted to show you online. The printout, you end up with like a table for each page and it gets pretty long, and then you want to switch to ethnicities. So it's easier to keep it online for now until I do a complete overhaul with importing CSV data. But the report goals and development process, it's like what I'd like to discuss a little bit here to get kind of our own internal plan going, as well as the reason why I sent all those attachments with the plan with this meeting, so that everyone knows, like, here's the place where the bulk of the documents are. All right, then we're, and there's, and in this guide, there's actually like, or maybe it's in, yeah, they have guidelines on time periods.
Michelle.
I just have a quick question. On, they're not numbered, the pages, but the one, that one, no, next one. Next one. That one. It says at the end of that page that submit local goal setting plan to the Chancellor's Office. Is that the equity plan?
No.
Or, and?
Oh, it was like a one page document that I signed and said, we will do this by March, May 31st.
Oh, okay.
It's
didn't actually require a plan.
It wasn't a plan. It was just a commitment to do it. Like,
it
came out like, we kept waiting. We're like, when is it going to, they kept saying it was going to come out. Yeah. It didn't come out until December 1st. And it came out like, I don't know, it was like 7 days before it was due, right? It was so close.
We're
like, oh my gosh, what's it going to be? And we open it up and it's like a statement that says, we'll do this.
Yeah, we have a plan to do this.
Yeah,
it's the president saying we're going to have measurable objectives. But it was funny because I went on site to try to meet the deadline, and I said, okay, I'm going to go into the survey and see what's needed, right? What's coming Jeff's way, because it's for the president. But then you have to sign on like as the president. I'm like, oh no, I'm getting out. What I was committing to, or what I was going to put down for LTCC. So that's just kind of saying, I think it's more like to show proof that you know that this is what is needed to be done. So, yes, we did meet that first December 15th deadline. So, yes. See, look at this. We're already successful. But now there is a lot to do. But the good thing is we have a multi-year plan, not to follow one-on-one, but the college has been through a multi-year strategic plan. We've been through accreditation. We've got the QFE 1 is getting up and going, and of course guided pathways. We have many, not only objectives, but we have many measurable objectives to achieve, that we're in a good position to get this organized. All right. So. Let's see, reviewing existing plans. Does anyone have any comments or thoughts right now before I kind of move into, I want to discuss people's ideas and thoughts on the best way to effectively get this plan going within this college culture.
I think, Donald, just one thing that we're talking about when you're in here is these various indicators that they set, they'd be a really helpful next step for this group is to be like, well, where do we stand?
Well, I can pull up what we have on the Chancellor's Office now. I can show you the tables and the graphs and.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's the today thing, but I'm just saying like it's.
Yeah, no, it's.
At some point, that will be important to have in front of us.
It's your call how you want to go from here. Do you want to go into that detail, or do you want to stay big picture at this point?
No. Probably what I'll do is I can send you all a link to the exact site. And then on your own, you can take a look at what the tables are and how they're formatted. And they're very simple, straightforward graphs. They also have like how many units a student completes by ethnicity and gender for their degrees. And so that's some information that will be used tomorrow in the Guided Pathways presentation. But that information is all available. So I can send you the link, but what I'll also do is pull up the CSV data for multiple years and build some tables that you can see multi-year data if you want to see where we've been.
What's CSV?
I'm sorry, what?
What is CSV?
Oh, CSV is just a, I'm sorry, it's a text file upload. With that, I can put it into Access, SQL, SPSS. I can run analysis on it.
Correct.
Okay. But yeah, before we move to the next thing, well, I did have one question about what we were talking about just a little before you came in. On the metric of measuring our transfer of CUCs and Cal States, is that part of the legislation, that language, or is that strictly out of the Chancellor's office? Because I'm just curious why the students' success is being measured only by those two organizations, as opposed to our transfers to all, any four-year college.
Yeah, that's a good question. So originally, in the original student-centered funding formula proposal, and this, there's a lot of concern about this, it came out in January 2018, you would only get points, which would translate to funding for transfers to institutions, pretty much in alignment with this vision for success, because it predated that. Mm-hmm. The 30 or so private nonprofits in the state, like Brandman, you know, organized, and they were very active at the Capitol saying, hey, what about us? As well as institutions such as us said, wait, we want out of state, like UNR, or we want SNC. And so that got shifted and it moved by June to include all those groups. So the vision for success number updated to kind of change that. I think it was probably the thinking was, oh, California Master Plan for Higher Education, started with CSU at Queen College, you go into one of the UCs or CSUs. That's probably how this started. And I think there's probably maybe by folks on the Board of Governors, maybe a preference for public institutions, right? So that's probably how we got there. But
Maybe the governor, you know, the relationship, I think, between the governor and the current, the previous governor and the current chancellor, there was kind of a California focus on campus. And public institutions.
But the governor's budget didn't include that as far. Mm-hmm. So I think it probably just came out of that. The funding formula got a lot of pushback on that, though, involved.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry.
So I think part of my struggle with this is that, having been here for now 20 years, I know that we have a strategic plan, and there are goals and percentages and things that we've been working on in the last 7 years to get there to that. I know that then the state came up with the indicators, and we added those, and we're trying to work toward those. And now I know that we have an educational master plan that has conceptual goals, not necessarily quantitative goals. And so I'm not clear, really, kind of how all of those things that we have currently and we've been working on correspond or crosswalk to these goals. So I think it maybe the first step for me would be to kind of lay out all the indicators that we've been operating under and kind of figure out which ones of those are we going to carry through with, are we going to keep working on it, or are we kind of setting all of that aside and only taking the ones that correspond to these. I think that's kind of where I'm at a bit of a loss. It's like, how are we talking about? Like, it'd be great to see the tables, but I don't really know, like, are the tables representative of all of the things that we're now needing to talk about and get to, or?
I mean, I've been told the indicators are in the trash.
The indicators
I hate to even say that, crazy, but, that's a film that's like, we gotta do this, right? We definitely gotta do this. We should take it seriously. I think it's well intentioned. But there's a piece of me that's like, well, who's gonna be chancellor in 3 years? And what are they gonna want? What are their indicators gonna be? Because we just kind of looked through this a few years ago, and now we're kind of redoing it.
Can we keep the ones that we have and just kind of adapt them to what this is asking?
Okay, Wesley, you go ahead and then I'll go.
My whole comment was just about this college. The plans that we made in the past have always led us to where we are today. Because when the student funding formula came out, there's so many pieces of it that the college was already set up. We're not scrambling to redo what we're doing in order to meet the pieces of the funding formula. So I'm just going to say have faith, because what has been being the goals and everything, regardless of what we've used or whatever the chancellor comes up with, whoever's sitting in the seat, is obviously working here. That, you know, so I mean, I believe in this college and the goals and everything up to this point, because, I mean, seriously, when I go back and I look at how many degrees were changed to ADTs before the funding formula was even thought of, the university center opening before the funding formula became effective, all these things were because all the different things were being looked at, and most importantly, what do our students need? So that was just my comments.
If I may, to Michelle's point, I'm with you on that, because I'm sitting here going, I don't, the classic throw the baby out with the bathwater. I know, what do we already have in place from our current existing strategic plan for indicators, and how do we match those up to what's now on the plate? And I think that, I was kind of thinking like yours, is what do we have, what do they want, what matches? Not necessarily the percent increase and all that, not the metric itself, but the area.
Yeah. I think we need to ask ourselves, are we happy with what we have right now? I think the reason why we're getting a deluge of extra funding to do this is because over the past 5-6 years, based on what they wanted to achieve with all that money, it hasn't happened. The needle hasn't changed much. So, you know, we're talking about, it's still stuck at 40% for the most part. I mean, I don't think they're looking at individual college saying, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. But they're looking at, like, can we get this up to 50% generally? Can we say, you know, back in the 2000s, it was okay to be at 40%, okay, it was okay. But now when we move into like 2021, I think what they're looking at is, can we get this up to 50% so that 50% of the students that come to most community colleges, we can say that the majority of them graduate in 6 years. So I think we have to kind of look at what we have here. What can we say for all the students if we disaggregated based on the different student groups? Can we say that the majority of them are at least at 40%, and then our goal internally is to maybe get up to 45-50%. Rome can't be built in a day, but we can stretch it out and say, you know, if we can incrementally increase it, hopefully by 2022-23, we can say for the most part that when students come here, half of them graduate in 6 years. That would be a big shift. So I think what they're trying to do is, they're trying to create a big paradigm shift across the whole state. And with us, it's not just across the whole state. I mean, in this area, we're talking about trying to do with the Nevada residents, right? In the Mason area as well. So we can say for most students that has been achieved. So it'd be really good to take a harder look at the numbers so that we can promote that. You know, when we say we're the premier community college, we can say that at least half of the students who come here, boom, are able to go on and transfer and get jobs. So I think that's the challenge. It's like, it's not so much where the other colleges are, it's like where we are, but where we want to be. Because when we say premier, we've got to be proud of that. It can't just be a word, you know? It's got to be like, this is real. So I think you're right, though. I sometimes wonder what will happen if the new chancellor disappears in 2 or 3 years and we get a new chancellor and he says, oh, this is poppycock. Let's go back to basics, right?
Kurt, the other challenge is that, you know, we've got this brand new funding formula, and that dictates to the whole system, this is what you pay attention to, because you won't get paid unless you do. Mm-hmm. And so anything outside of that is hard to prioritize as highly as you will not survive if you don't do these things.
Yeah.
And you got a great point there. I'm thinking about the SSSP funding, you know, how we became more performance-based. I think that's one shift that we all kind of start looking at. We have to increase those numbers. But still, over the past 5 years, with all that money, we're talking about over $1 billion, was thrust to all these different community colleges, the numbers still have not shifted. So I think now, the guided pathways model will have to work. Because if it doesn't, we're gonna all be in bad shape. So I think the numbers is where it's at. Trying to figure out where we are, and we can know for sure that this is not just a fairy tale. This is quantitative data showing that this is where we are. and this is where we be, this is where we want to be in the next 4 to 5 years, and making sure we're all on board to do it.
Go ahead.
I just say the indicators they have for the visions of success and what is available on the Chancellor's site, they're nothing radical. They're really graduation rates, they're transfer rates, when we have workforce indicators. And although they haven't populated on the Chancellor's site, we have a lot of data available at the CTS site to see how well our students are doing. And those are things we already have access to, how much we've been looking at. Maybe what is more, this will prompt us to do more closely. But then the unit accumulation indicator, I know that's what you've been working on with the guided pathways, and the goal is looking at the course programs, get degree audit up to work, up to speed, so that we can help students maximize their time here, get those credits to get them completed. I know that's one of the things that Dr. Poindexter wants in our data, to take a look at the unit accumulation for those who are getting degrees and seeing if there's how we're doing with all the different groups that we have. And he's primarily has asked for ethnicity race data, and that's a great place to start. Obviously, there's more diversity than that, but let's take a look at how we're doing it, meeting the different populations of the students coming to the college. So, and that falls in line with the visions for success with the equity indicator. So these are all things, there's nothing really new that we have to do. We just have to get it into a useful format for our strategic plan, kind of check off that, okay, Chancellor's office wants to have this information, we've got it covered. So I think we're fortunate there. And like Kurt, you were talking about the funding formula, these all tie into the how well we do with the budget, what we get funded for. So it all kind of, you know, we focus on the part like Jonathan's talking about, like on our students and aiming to work on our numbers, and that we're watching how we're doing, assessing what we're doing, is it making a difference? The funding formula will, you know, will take care of itself. Means we have to keep a close eye on it to make sure that the Chancellor's office is getting the correct data. But if we focus on the students, I think the funding formula will follow in the same path. So with this new multi-year strategic plan, we don't have to start from square 1.0. We have one to take a look at and see how comfortable we are with it. With the visions for 6-6 in our mind, we have lots of different information to utilize. The Educational Master Plan, the QFE one, we've got the previous strategic plan, we've got vision. So we have a lot of documents. We're not starting from zero, but yes, it's a lot of different pieces coming in together. So for today's meeting, what I want to get really out of it for today is that this semester, we have to implement it like next year, but we only have this semester.
Quarter.
So I'm trying to learn two words. Semester, bad. Quarter, not system office, like chancellor. And almost there conquering Nevada. So I got work in progress. But what I'd like to get started today is with this council's, you know, we're all in this together. Talk about a game plan on how to make this happen this semester.
Quarter.
Good thing this isn't a drinking game.
You're up.
So that's what I'm asking for today. We've got all the documents, I have them attached for you. They're so big. If there were smaller ones, I'd send them out to you. But we do have documents on the process that we could start with, but I think we already know how to get this started.
Mary Ellen.
Just thinking like what we did a little bit with the QFE in terms of could we take some overflow IEC or make time in IEC to do actual work sessions.
That's what my hope is.
Edit it, work on it.
That's why I reminded everyone of one of our main functions. And I liked the way we did the QFE1 as working meetings. Yeah. So what I propose is that we kind of start looking at how we make this a part of our IEC meetings, where you'll be charged with a task to bring with you to the next meeting and go from there. But I want to stop at that. I looked to Michelle, and the idea of our AFMs, the all faculty meetings, And I don't want to leap too quickly here. When do we go bigger with this? How much do we need to do in here before we go to the college as a whole?
We need a plan.
Yeah, we need to kind of get a timeline.
We need a plan before we go to college. We're just scratching the surface. Yeah. Right? So I would say that is, and unfortunately, we only have one more all faculty meeting, and it's pretty accounted for. Mm-hmm.
So. I think what we've done in the past, just for reference, is, you know, I don't know how this group was involved because the structure was different, but we've definitely had a group that kind of put together a plan for how to develop the plan, a structure for how to develop the plan. And then we had, was involved in two of them that were one day pretty large, kind of comprehensive, inclusive workshops in
this whole room,
but yeah, including community members, all the different constituent groups. Now that was for creating a strategic plan more than, and I don't know if that's what we're looking for. We certainly, our strategic plan is at its end of its life, so are we going for that kind of a document, or are we looking at just kind of dealing with this situation with the
vision for success? It's kind of a double. We've got to deal with the vision for success in short order, but we also need a strategic plan, which we have a longer period of time to do. So ideally, if there's a way to overlap our efforts a little bit. But what's interesting is the vision for success stuff, I mean, just a hunch, I think maybe between this group and some interfacing with Senate and a few other key groups on campus, we can probably make some good progress on the vision for success group. We probably don't need to go out and have a community forum on should our accumulated units average be 94 or something, right? That's probably not a community-wide discussion, as was the strategic plan. It's going to need more of a community voice. So that might be something to think about too. Maybe there's a phase one that's really for this that drives into the larger piece, and the larger piece gets more broad. We start narrowing a little broad.
For the visions for success? Because I saw it really as one in the sense that the vision for success has goals and it tells us what, and again, we're not anchored to it, but tells us basic measurable indicators, like grad, transfer, unit accumulation.
But I think the strategic plan is going to have so many other components to it that are not part of this.
You got 100 days from today, so I don't see there's any way that we're going to, just having been actively part of the last strategic planning process and knowing the level of notification that you're, months of notification that you're in community members to come to these planning sessions and whatnot, I don't see being able to get that wrapped up by the end of May. So the vision for success is going to have to precede it a little bit, unfortunately.
Or maybe fortunately. Yeah, I think it's good because it probably will then help us, it will guide our strategic planning in that way. How many data points are we talking about for this? Just these bullet points?
It's just there's really not that many if you look at what they have. Oh, sorry, John.
No, you go ahead and finish.
Is it six?
Let me know if she's next.
Okay. They just have listed the completion. They want to know the graduate. They want to know what levels. They want to know transfers and did they go to a CU, CSU. They want to take a look at the union accumulation, see how effective we are at helping them get their degrees. The workforce indicators, that's all available on the CTE site. And then taking a look at it by ethnicity and race is their primary. They're looking for equity, but right now the primary discussion on the equity is the ethnicity race variable. But that's all that they have identified in their group.
I think if that's the case, I would recommend, and this is just my perspective, and I'm not wed to it, but I would say let's this group start, look at the data and come up with some reasonable goals that we think are achievable and match the vision for success. And like when we did the indicators, that's kind of what we did. They were created and then we walked them around. We took them to all the councils, we had discussions about them. Are these reasonable? Do these seem like the right percentages? Can we do this? It wasn't one big meeting where we all decided that these were the things together.
Yeah.
So I think for that piece of it, because it's limited, we could do it that way, and then that could then be a part of the bigger strategic. Because a strategic plan is about facilities, and it's about University Center. It's got so many other things that aren't part of this. That I think they could be a jump.
I mean, Kathy, you had something you want to share.
I would just want to, you know, along your lines, if we could just put up these different bullet points and then look at all the plans you already have and what are you doing. And, oh, this is from here, we've got this from here, and then you can see where their gaps are, or you can see what else you might want to do, or what other ideas or metrics you could measure that would fill in, but at least you'd know what you already have and what's already has the verbiage, and you've already got metrics for all these different ones.
Yeah.
But that post-it note session too.
Yeah, and some of the percentages that we've been working toward for, for transfer or for completion or ADTs or whatever might translate very nicely into a percentage that we can apply to this.
And with that, I would offer, I was just thinking as you guys were discussing that, I like the idea of get this thing out of the way. It's very tangible, it's right there, you got six bullets, am I counting, of stuff, whether they're all there or not for us. But here's the thing I was also looking at, and I wanted to see what Donna thought, is if we were to get a trend data for X number of prior years in different areas, wouldn't that help us get a sense of how much we could continue improving over the next 2 or 3 years? Because I don't want to do, okay, we're at 22%. Well, we need to get to 35. Excuse me, 6 years ago, we were at 20%. We're just getting to 20. You know, there's a, to me, there's a history that can help guide how quickly we can move forward on the indicators.
Well, we're fortunate that we have both LTCC reports as well as, we don't use federal reporting too much, but we have the LTCC reports and we have a fact book that goes back and shows like previous 5 years and different success patterns as it is. So these are things that already are in existence that can be applied as we go forward. So there's a lot of things we're not recreating the wheel. It's just how do we pull together and have it be meaningful information. But we have it, and let's see. I'm trying to think. Let me pull that data from the Chancellor site for multi-years, pull it in, analyze it, and put it into the trend data from the Census office. And then our fact book is just about out, but we have all the previous years as well that go that do a 5-year look. So that provides a snapshot too.
I'm going to ask this because of the Unicon report. How valued is those, are those reports? I don't need us to go into data that's
questionable. Gotta watch it right now. There's some challenges to it, and it puts into question our federal data as well. Yeah, it is suspect until proven otherwise. So what Michael Atkinson has been helping with is running internal queries off our colleague data. We're trying to get a handle on our MIS data. But the problem is some of the MIS data we can't change even if we see the error now because it's locked in. We have many errors in the last 3 quarters that are submitted, and that's before fall. And I can't go and change winter 2018, spring 18, or summer 18. We have a fighting chance with fall 18. But that's why I've got to watch it. But some of the data is good.
Okay.
So I'm trying to pull the data to match with what the Chancellor's Office reporting for the college on those things that are a standalone variable. Like if it says age, there wasn't calculations used. It was age pulled from colleague. So yeah, it makes it very challenging.
I think also we're without a database analyst right now. That's a critical position. And so until we get that hired, which is the process that we're held up on, it's going to kind of slow us down a little bit on this. So
that's what I was going to ask. What's the timetable on that?
Kurt, say again, please.
What's the timetable on the data analyst hiring?
So anytime a position is vacated, as you know, so there's kind of three different things that happen. Maybe there's a decision to not fill the position or do something else. One is post the position job description as previously approved since or any other board. Or three is, you know, update job description to reflect current duties. And we're in that option 3, and we're that what that requires job description has been updated, basically reflects the old job description was really kind of the marketing career job description, reports to the director of technology, very tech-esque, as opposed to the current job description is much more institutional researcher. And so then the district needs to go to classified employee union and get concurrence on the range, which I believe it's in your court right now. It's been shared with the CEU, and basically saying is proposing keeping the range the same. And then once there's concurrence on the range, it needs to go to the board approves the new job description, and then we can post it. So it's really just expediting that process. But that takes time, because there's a review time that CEU requires to do their due diligence. And then there's getting it on a board packet, which takes time, and then getting it out to post. So that's the process.
Right now, we have like 2.5 people working on it. Feel very fortunate Bill King has stepped in, but we didn't make it easy for him because with the previous analyst's very sudden departure, we were left in January 8th with 1098-T processes that no one else in the college had known what to do about, and those, of course, we would be fined by the federal government or IRS to not get those out in a timely manner. And there was a week or week and a half deadline that poor Bill came in and had to do an employee MIS data to get it, figure out the processes, get it uploaded, get it clean, and now he is racing to get fall enrollment data up, which we've talked to the chancellor's office and we're not being given anything. So he's working really incredibly hard. Michael is developing a number of queries so we can help find out if this data is coming in close to what it should be. And then I have been learning a lot about MIS and a lot of reaching out and finding out exactly what we're looking at, because that makes it hard too when you don't know. You know, you see a 5 and you're like, I don't know if that's good or bad. So we've all been in together. So we are eagerly waiting a person full-time in that position as well. So we do have to do a lot of checking on the data part. So when I pull out, get the trend data, if you want to see following the visions for success, I will check it to make sure it comes in close. It may not be perfect, but close to our colleague. Anything else on the data component? And if you happen to know anyone who is a database specialist who wants to learn MIS, please keep us in mind. But let's get back to the plan. If we focus now on our plan to develop the plan and spread the word and get it out to the different committees, how to incorporate the student voice, all those details, I'd love to get started on that part.
Anybody? Go ahead,
Michelle. I think probably we're going to have to look to you to guide us in that. I mean, I think if you want to kind of just say, this is what I think we should do, and then we can respond. I think we're able to kind of create that process beyond what we've done, maybe. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, starting here and creating, you know, some kind of document that we can work with and move forward with, but I don't know that any of us will want to create that process.
Well, I thought it could be a group project. Part of the challenge I have being here half a year now is I'm learning that there are a number of things that I don't know, like I'll do, but then it's like, oh no, we do it this way, or no, this is what we want to see. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of treading carefully here to get the organizational kind of culture and input on the best ways to proceed with keeping people engaged and on board and not doing something that I lose them on because I'm clueless to what people want to do. But getting together with the plan, if I'm thinking on my own, then the first thing I'd like to do is knowing the visions for success. There's not that many, if you boil it down to the key points, there's not that much of the visions of success that we need to do in our strategic plan to meet the visions for success in terms of their measurable objectives and our goals, keeping their goals in our sights, like leveling off our achievement among different types. But we have all these different plans. Would it be wrong to start with the previous multi-year plan, see what is still valid, what still works, what can be updated, and what now that we're looking back at the plan that had been created, combined with where we're going, visions for success, get an idea on what needs to be tweaked and what needs to be updated. That's where I would start.
I would say, I think my take is, so we're about an hour into this. I think this has been looking good. I think you probably you've exhausted the energy on this topic in this moment, right? I think this is probably good one-on-one to kind of get everyone up to the level of like, hey, this is coming down the pipe, you need to do this, here's some vision for successes, here's a process. And then I think probably at the next meeting, we need to revisit this again, let's look at the data. It's going to have to happen over a period of a few weeks. I think probably a lot of us just saw this for the first time. I mean, I know I've seen this before, but is that fair for a lot of you? They're just like, this is brand new. So I think now people just need a little time to digest this. And that we just continue this conversation over meetings. And I think also between those meetings, maybe we can have some senior leadership team conversation meetings to share some of the things that we've done for strategic planning in the past.
And with that said, I remind all of you that we schedule 2 meetings a month. One of them is technically called the overflow meeting. Mm-hmm. It ain't anymore. Because if we've got to get this thing up and running, we need every meeting. And what we need to do, and by we, Donna and I, with senior leadership, we need to figure out what do we assign to the group for the next meeting. And then we send out whatever it is we want them to have ready for that next meeting. So every 2 weeks we're going to meet. In part, we can have other things on the agenda, certainly, but part of the main piece will be to address this. And this becomes a standing item on our agenda.
We took a hit because this meeting was supposed to be in January.
I know that. Yeah. We got canceled because of snow day.
So not that you have to print out the 521-page document on the that leads the hyperlinks in here, but please look over, at least look over the different visions for success and the measures. Look at the educational goals. I know there's the goals 18, 19, I know there's more, but right now I only care about 4.
Yep. So. That's all right. Kathy, you had a question?
I just wanted, just to try and see how far we are and what exactly, for an example, like on the first one, increased by 20%, those that get degrees or certificates, there were other schools, and I thought we were talking about mining and those students that transferred to actually, even if they didn't want the degree or they didn't want the AA, that we were going to send it to them. I mean, would that, if we went back and mined the data and sent people certificate, are we already there? Is that the kind of thing that you're looking at to measure or to do?
I'm not looking at the mining part because I've been in a couple of meetings now where they're talking about there's financial aid implications for students if they get the degree.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want a surprise.
I specifically was not told to graduate last year or get my associates because it would affect my financial aid. So I didn't know. Technically I'm my associates, but not really. But I didn't want to do it because I didn't want to affect my financial aid.
Well, and an interesting catch-22 could be that if we mine back an award certificate, that could raise the base number that we have to increase that by that percentage.
That's a good point, Kurt, because these are all percent.
Right.
I think they're all percents.
Almost
all. Yeah. Which means if you've already have 100 students doing this,
we don't want to change it to 110.
Or if you've got 1,000 students doing it, well, that's another 200 students.
Or if you just do it moving forward, because I know there are colleges that are doing that.
Really? I think that's so interesting.
Sending degrees.
They're automating degrees. Many colleges are automating degrees. Yeah.
If you did move forward, this are we there? Or do we already
have
this?
That's fair. I was just thinking 2 years out, we're also receiving
things. Exactly.
And they all be like, oh, that's nice.
Michelle, you had something you wanted to add?
I think it's always better to start with something and give people something to react to rather than just kind of starting with from scratch and saying, what should we? Where should we go from here kind of thing. So that's kind of what I was saying is from your perspective, if you've seen good practices in the past or how you think it might work, I think we're open. I don't think we're committed to any of the things. We had a process a number of years ago that was the, what was it called? Effective inquiry, AI, I think it was effective inquiry, which was totally experimental, do you remember that? And really didn't work. But, you know, we tried it. It was, you know, I think we're not committed, you know, to a specific way of doing it, except that it's participatory when it comes down to finalizing the decision making. But, you know, I think having something that this group could say, yeah, we like this approach, we don't want to go this way, or this would work best with our institution or not, I think that's kind of more what I was looking at.
Well, most of my experience, I'll tell you, strategic plans has been bad experiences.
Yeah.
So if there's anything to that truth about learning from other approaches, I have that scared away. What I would like to do here is I have a vision on how I would like us to go forward, and that's with people are on board and looking at all the different pieces of our plan and being engaged in it. And I'm not just saying this, but I really, I think this is the best college I've been at, with so many people who are truly interested in making a difference and looking at the data, the qualitative and quantitative. So there's an engaged group. I've been on a number of strategic planning committee where, you know, people are like checking it off for their resume or for their professional folder to say that they're there. And
oh, you caught me.
So to have people who are actually engaged in looking at the information, then all of our meetings going forward will definitely be different, like kind of work assignments. But I do want people's input as we're going forward on this, because I don't want to have an idea or a strategy and just get, oh, well, that's not either not going to work because of this, or, you know, there's a better way to go. It's I'll certainly share, you know, as we go forward on the plan, what my vision is, but it needs to be tempered by your input and what works here best at the college.
I would offer that my experience has been, if someone does what you're describing, gives us something to look at, you're going to get people who are going to critically assess it, question what we're doing, do we need that or not, or kudos, that's an excellent idea. You will get constructive feedback, and then we can build off of that. But I'm kind of in the same boat where it's like, we've got 80,000 things here, and where do we want to go? So, but I like the idea of a working council for the next several meetings. So we need to get
so
together.
We'll get together and
we will.
Now you keep rejecting my Saturday meeting.
I'm here in my office.
John already has two meeting Saturday dates.
No, though, we can, but seriously, we can. We need to do that so we give them something to start working on. So
okay. There's a lot we have to cover today in the intro part. But we've got work to do. We've got into the notes that we're going to meet in 2 weeks.
The next meeting is scheduled for the 21st.
It's already scheduled. In fact, I believe if you check your calendars, there's two Thursdays every month for this month alone, February, March. I don't know, did she already send out the ones for spring?
Yes.
Yeah. I will.
No, there's one on the 4th, which is spring break, and there's nothing after that, so no chance.
Okay, and we'll talk with Lisa about scheduling two a month through the end of the academic year, and if something comes up and we need to cancel it, we'll have that. It's already blocked. I don't want to create other times after, and you and I will figure out a time to get together and do this. Saturday works for me too.
And by the end of next week, what I'll provide is from the Chancellor's Office, CSV of the trend on the indicators that they are talking about for the visions for success. And let me take a look at the 2017 strategic plan, see if there's any other areas of data. A lot of it we already have created. So if there's anything else in the plan that isn't addressed in the visions for success indicators, I'll go ahead and include those too. So that will give everyone a week to kind of take a look at the data. I'll put it in chart form, so you're not going to be looking at raw numbers.
Yep,
but we can go from there. And then we'll include like what the purpose of our work meeting is going to be.
Okay. I asked Lori to put this file back up. This is in the board docs for today's meeting. This is the vision for success. I respectfully ask you to take a look at it. A little better sense of what's, because it's not just a list of the bullets in the back, there's more to it. And that way we can kind of get on the same page as far as what the chancellor's office is looking for going forward. And then we'll get you a task in the meanwhile. Okay? Any questions to wrap this up? As Jeff says, we're kind of getting burnt onto this for today. Well, it's a lot there. Okay, if not, then let's move forward. Item 3.01, the minutes of December 6th. Everybody good?
I got a couple things.
Content or?
Grammar,
thank you. I couldn't think of the word.
Clerical.
There's a couple, yeah, there's a couple of spelling things, but I have one that I didn't understand.
Okay.
And that is the, in reports 2.05, it says, it also shared that the majority of the time the consultants at Pirelli spend will be focused on those areas of the, I'm not sure what that was supposed to be saying.
Did you say 2.05?
Yeah, right down there.
It's the amount of time that they spend.
It was also shared. The majority of the time, consultants Pirelli
spend.
The time the consultants at Pirelli spend will be booked. Okay, I get it.
Thank
you. I just didn't understand it.
And Kurt, if you want to get to either give me after the meeting or get with Lisa on whatever the.
Okay.
Thank you. I was going to tell them that too.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Great minds think alike. Any other comments or concerns on the minutes? Otherwise, you're good? Thank you. Standing reports, Vice President of Academic Affairs, Dr. Risden, anything? You good? Vice President of Administrative Services, she's left, but...
She left. She didn't really give me anything to specifically talk about, but tomorrow morning at 9:30, we're doing a celebration of the Live Violence-Free Community Tree Art Donation in the Student Center, so feel free to pop. It's nothing super fancy. It's just acknowledgement, a backstory on the artwork, and a very simple little reception.
Cool.
9:30 tomorrow morning.
In the Student Center?
Student Center.
Excellent. Thank you. Anything else? No. Dr. King.
A number of things. We've got the Guided Pathways training seminar that's going to be over at the University Center tomorrow. It's going to be particularly aimed at the student services staff, but also everybody's welcome. We have a few faculty will be there. It'll be from 8 until 1. We have lunch, so everything's going to be shut down. The guest speaker slash facilitator, his name is Dr. Michael Poindexter. He used to work at Sacramento City College. He's now doing this full time. He did a lot of work in California and elsewhere, so he'll be here tomorrow. The other thing is that we have some new employees on board. My administrative assistant, Katie Meyer, started about 2 weeks ago, so she's in the pocket. She's doing really well. We have another person by the name of Ulysses Carol Flores, who's hired as a new Trio ETS coordinator over at the high school.
And he loves his job.
And
this
man is a unicorn.
Yeah.
He is a young Hispanic male who actually came up through the system here over at the high school. He actually went to the Abbott program, graduated, went on to Cal Poly. He actually majored in math and graduated. And now he's back at the high school, and he's working with the students that love him, so.
And he's taking accounting with me.
Oh, yeah, great student.
And nothing else to do.
Let's see, a few more things. I attended a Title IX training 2 weeks ago, learned a lot. Basically, we're gonna have to restructure our Title IX structure on the campus. What I found out is that many colleges, they not only have a Title IX officer that handles all these things that happen on campus, but they also have what they call deputy coordinators in all the different areas. So if we do that, it means we need to have a deputy coordinator in academic affairs, student services, possibly in the dual enrollment program, athletics, just to handle some of the stuff, the workload. So it's not anything we have to kind of put in place right away, but we have been in talks with this group called ATIXA and bringing somebody on our campus to do some of the training. So that ends my report. Oh, one more thing. This is Black History Month. And there are going to be a number of things happening on the campus. We will be showing the film Wakanda over in the theater. I think that's going to be on the 23rd, and it's going to be interesting. So definitely, if you can, bring your kids, bring your spouses, better halves to this event. There'll be more information about that in the near future. few days.
Comments or questions for any of those folks? Superintendent President, what do you have for us, sir?
No report today.
How about for the Board of Trustees agenda? Any highlights in that?
Agenda is not yet finalized.
Okay.
We'll be getting some updates on enrollments and budget. Those are the most meaty things on there.
How are our numbers for this quarter looking?
We're up about 10%. 9-10%. I mean, that's enrollments and weekly student contact hours. We don't have FTS numbers for the year yet. We have
all FTS winter numbers. Or from last winter to this winter, 10%?
Winter to winter.
That's good.
Maybe 9% is probably more accurate.
All right. Well, we're not going to hold you to it. So actually, the tape is.
Don actually has a really nice presentation she put together for the board. Maybe it would be good to share with IUC in the future.
That would be good. Just everyone realize, after we meet on a Thursday, the following Tuesday, the board's doing its meeting. Senate was canceled, is canceled for tomorrow. So you, Jonathan, you may see some more faculty going to the Guided Pathways discussion.
But and if you like burritos, definitely get there early. Breakfast burritos.
Ooh.
So if you only can make it for like 1 or 2 hours, just come for the burrito.
All right, so with that, I'm going to note that the 6.01, we have a meeting scheduled for 2 weeks from today, Thursday, February 21st, 1 o'clock here in this room. In between this time and that, you will be hearing from Donna with the task.
Am I the task at hand?
You are. You and I will work on figuring that out.
Can I add on to Jonathan's?
Sure, go right ahead.
Not only is there breakfast burritos, but at 8:30 there will be a discussion about our data tied to ethnicity, graduation.
Ooh, gotta be there.
Accumulation.
I'll save you a seat.
Burritos, friends, and
dad.
Okay. Anything else, folks? In that case, meeting's adjourned. Thank you. Thank you for your input.
Good job.